Have, I'm going to ask you to take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. The song we sang a few moments ago, "O God, our help in ages past," actually comes from Psalm 90. And Psalm 90 was a psalm of Moses, a prayer of Moses, the man of God, it says. But we're not given the author of Psalm 91. It could have been David. It may have been Moses. It could have been someone else. We're not told. But Psalm 91, I want you to read with me the first verse, then we'll pray, and then we're going to take a look at it this morning. Psalm 91, in verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can be together today. Thank you for those who are listening and watching. And Lord, we pray that you just bless and help us this morning. Cause us to be open to what you would say to us. May your Spirit use your word to speak to our hearts. And Lord, forgive us anything that would stand in the way of your moving and working in our midst. Now, Father, we pray honestly and earnestly that if there's anyone in the sound of our voice today who doesn't know you as Savior, that they may come to trust you in this hour, put their faith and trust in you. And Lord, for those who do know you, may we ever be drawn closer to you, especially at this time. May we learn the principle and the great truth of abiding in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We were talking about how we would do this morning. We've been live streaming for some time now. That's not new. So I guess we've kind of been a TV church for a while, in a sense. But I was talking to Brother Chris about how we were going to do this without very many people, hardly anybody here. He said, "Well, just like being preaching on the radio." I said, "Well, I've done that. I can do that again." Not the first time. John Newton wrote these words. He said, "If the Lord be with us, we have no cause of fear. His eye is upon us, his arm over us, his ear is open to our prayer, his grace sufficient, his promise unchangeable." On another occasion, he wrote some of his most famous words, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." We're living in a very uncertain world. I've had a lot of conversations this week with many people, and one thing that we all agreed on is that we're living in a time unlike any other. Some people say, "Well, it's like a hurricane." I said, "It's not like a hurricane." I said, "You get ready for the hurricane, you know it's coming, but it's only here for a day at the most, and then it moves on. Now, you may have a lot of work to clean up afterwards, but other than that, you get back to normal. It's not like a hurricane." Somebody else said, "Well, it was like the Great Depression." Well, it may be more like that. In many ways, and I wouldn't argue that point. There are those who know more about that than I would, to be sure. But it's not just like the Great Depression either, because at that time people weren't being quarantined, at least not because of the depression itself. So I've said that we cannot say, "Well, the last time this happened, what we did was," because there wasn't any last time. This hasn't happened before. And we can't go back to our previous experience. So what are you getting at? I'm getting at this. In this world of uncertainty, we need an anchor to hold us fast. We need a rock upon which to stand. We need a firm foundation. We need an unchanging reference point to show us the way. Not long ago, my wife and I were in the planetarium at Pensacola Christian College, and we saw a display on the North Star and how that's used for navigation, because it is a fixed point. Well, we need that fixed point right now. And we need something we can go to that is, while many things are changing all around us, we need something we can go to that's not changing. Take a look at Psalm 1 again, Psalm 91 and verse 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." Now, where is the secret place of the Most High? Well, it's where you spend time with God. That's the secret place of the Most High. And I suggest you spend time with God. Hopefully you take some time. Somebody said to me, well, that's the old Baptist formula. Read your Bible and pray. You know what, folks? There's nothing wrong with that. Read your Bible and pray. Spend time in prayer. And pray every day and pray throughout the day. And pray like you've not prayed before. And then get into God's Word and let God's Word speak to you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where you want to be, isn't it? In God's presence. Now, this is a promise made to the children of God. Those of us who are the children of God must spend time with God. What do you mean, those of us who are? Isn't everybody a child of God? No. Jesus said to one of the most religious men of his time, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You are a child of God if you've been born again by believing in Jesus Christ to save your soul. If you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus to save your soul, then, my friend, you're not a child of God. And you need to come to him and you need to trust him. Once you do that, then you have the opportunity to spend time with him, to dwell with him, to abide in, under the shadow of the Almighty. We need to understand that he wants us to spend time with him. Do you know that's why we were created? We were created because God wanted us to spend time with him. Now, I want you to take a look again at verse 1, where it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The psalm tells us we need to spend secret time with the Most High. What is secret time? Well, Jesus talked about going into your closet and praying. You don't actually have to go into a closet. I've known some people to do that. But you find a place where you can just get alone with God. But not just that. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's the Hebrew El Elyon. In Daniel, we find El Elyon, the Most High God. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, live continually under the shadow of the Almighty, where he covers us, he watches over us, and he protects us. In Psalm 27, 4 and 5, David wrote, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. That's what's being said here. You abide in the shadow of the Almighty. For in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. Now I want you to look at verse 2. Verses 2 and 3, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now we're going to come back to this word pestilence in a minute, but I want you to pay special attention to that. And I'm going to help you with something here. But go back to verse 2 right now. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Martin Luther wrote, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Since 1956, the motto of the official motto of the United States of America has been, in God we trust. Since 2006, that has been the official motto of the state of Florida, in God we trust. Some of you may have it on your license plate. You'll see it other places. You'll see it on coinage. The truth of the matter is, if there's ever been a time when we needed trust in God, it's right now. There are things that we have no control over and no human being has control over. We need to trust in God. And so it says here in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. In God we trust. Make that your motto and live by it. Then in verse 3, he says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Now that word fowler means somebody who goes out and traps birds. And they trap birds for food. And they trap birds. And they set a snare for them, a trap for the bird. But the psalmist says, surely he, God, in whom you trust, will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That's no doubt talking about the trap of temptation. Even in a time like this, there's temptation, temptation to sin, and temptation to cause others to perhaps suffer for your benefit. I've been hearing a good bit about greed lately. I've been hearing a good bit about theft, and that's horrific. At a time when everybody should have the welfare of each other at their heart. The truth of the matter is, we ought to always be that way. We ought to always consider the benefit of others. Jesus said, as you would that others should do unto you, do ye even also unto them. We used to call that the golden rule. It wouldn't be bad if we got back to that idea. So he says he will deliver you from the foul of the snare of the fowler. He'll deliver you from the trap of the tempter. Temptation comes upon you. Even in this time when we're so concerned about physical things, we need to pay attention to the spiritual as well and not fall into the trap. But then also in verse 3, he says, surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now you pay close attention here. I want you to focus on what I'm saying here about verse 3. He will deliver us from the noisome pestilence. The Hebrew word translated pestilence there, listen carefully, means a plague, literally an infectious disease with symptoms beginning about 7 days after exposure with fever. Symptoms are headache, shortness of breath from infection in the lungs, developing into pneumonia with great chest pains, often resulting in death. Does that sound familiar to anybody? It does, doesn't it? It ought to. Would you read verse 3 with me again? Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He'll deliver you from that. He'll bring you through it. And he'll get you through it. And the truth of the matter is, he says he will deliver us from the noisome pestilence. The noisome, what does it make a lot of noise? Well, it can, but the truth of the matter is, it's not what it means. It means the one that causes so much stress and trouble. We can turn to God at a time like this. He's already talked about it in his word. It's unprecedented for us, but it's not unprecedented for him. He understands all about it. Do you know that when a matter of days ago, most of this became brand new news to us, it wasn't brand new news to God? Do you know God wasn't sitting up in heaven saying, wow, boy, I sure didn't see that coming. I had no idea that was going to happen. I have to figure out what to do now. That didn't happen at all. He knew all along what was happening and what was going to happen and what is happening right now. Look at verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust. Jesus lamented over Jerusalem, and he said, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. You understand what the Lord's saying? He's saying, come to me. I'll gather you. I'll protect you like a hen protects her little chicks. I'm calling you. I'm asking you to come. But you don't come. You would not. That's Matthew 23, verse 37. William O. Cushing wrote this. Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, when there is no medicine to take, when there is no remedy, there I find comfort and there I am blessed, under his wings. Then in verse 4 again, it says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Now, what is a buckler? Buckler is a small shield. Well, why would it say shield and buckler? Because the shield here is a large shield. You would use that in battle, a shield to protect against a long-range attack. Maybe arrows are coming at you and you can hide behind the shield. Often they would do that. Soldiers of that day would get under the shield and they would actually form a shell of shields around the entire army to protect from an arrow attack. You might also use the shield to protect from the spear or some other long-range attack. But the buckler is a smaller shield, and that's used for close-in fighting. So whether the attack comes from far away or whether it comes from up close and personal, that's what he's saying here. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield for the long-range attack. His truth shall be the buckler for the close-in attack. And then in verse 5, he says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. The terror by night. That's which comes in the darkness. I don't know about anybody else, but when I was a child, I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of the dark. I would not go into a dark room if I didn't have to. If I had to, I'd try to reach around the corner and flip on the light, find the light switch. I didn't want to be in the darkness. We were living in Tennessee, and sometimes we'd go down to visit family in Georgia. And my mother's uncles, my uncle Marshall, her uncle Marshall, my great uncle, was a farmer. And I liked going to the farm. I liked because sometimes he'd let me sit on the tractor. I liked that. And I liked seeing the cows. I liked seeing the other animals. I liked being on the farm. But I said to my parents when we were going down to visit, I said, let's don't spend the night at Uncle Marshall's house, okay? Well, why not? You like going there. I like going there in the daytime. But when you spent the night there, they didn't have indoor plumbing in their house. Now, they did have at the kitchen sink, they had the old hand pump like this. But they didn't have indoor plumbing. They had out by the barn an outhouse. And the truth of the matter is, invariably, I would have to get up during the night and go to the bathroom. And I had to go out there by that old barn in the dark. And that old barn in the dark was spooky to me. I didn't like it. I didn't want to be out there by the old barn in the dark. So I didn't want to have to get up during the night, go out by the old barn to get to the outhouse. So I would say to my parents, let's don't stay at Uncle Marshall's house. I liked Uncle Marshall. I liked his house, but not at night. Do you know what the Bible says here? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Now, can an arrow be shot at night? Of course it can. They're most often shot in the daytime when you can see the target. What God is saying is whether it's day or night, no matter what your circumstance, you don't need to be afraid. Because you're under his wings, you're in the shadow of the Almighty. You dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. In verse 6, that word is used again, pestilence. In verse 6, he says, nor for the pestilence, you do not need to be afraid of the terror by night, the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. You know what that is? That's the enemy that you can't see. That's the unseen enemy, the invisible enemy, if you will, the one you can't see coming. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Do not be afraid, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. That's the enemy you can see. See, there are physical enemies, there are spiritual enemies, there are enemies you can see, you can touch, you can fight against, there are enemies that you can't. What the Lord is saying is either way, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I've told this many times. I'm going to tell it again because I think it'll help. I was saved as a teenager. I was 17 years old. Immediately got into church and been in church ever since. But the truth of the matter is we had quite a youth group. Many of the young people from our youth group went on to serve the Lord in many different ways, in many different places in this country and other parts of the world. And I remember one of the young men and our youth group got drafted. Now, he had gotten his draft notice. The Vietnam War was coming on. What was going on, I shouldn't say coming on, it's going on. It had been going on for a while. Vietnam War was going on, and to get drafted meant that you were going into the Army and you're most likely going to go to Vietnam. And whether you would come back or not, that was quite a question. I remember one of the ladies in the church went to this young man who had gotten his draft notice, and she gave him this verse, Psalm 91, verse 7. You take a look at it. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Say, was that fellow lost in the war? He wasn't. He wasn't. What this verse is saying to you and I is, God is with you. He's going to protect you. The Lord cares about you. He loves you, and he's going to bring you through one way or another. Come to verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. With your eyes in this life, you'll see the reward of the wicked. What does that mean? It means God is just, and God brings about justice. And he's saying, only with thine eyes, with your physical eyes, you're going to behold and see the reward of the wicked. Those who have done evil to you, those who have done evil to others, you'll see God bring about justice upon them. But then in verse 9, he says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Talked about Dr. Monroe Parker here many times. He preached his last Sunday, Easter Sunday on earth, not his last Sunday, his last Easter Sunday on earth in this pulpit. And this great man of God preached for almost 70 years. But he told a story often about a revival meeting he conducted up in the state of Kentucky. He said when he got into town for that meeting, the pastor of the church, who was a man in his 70s, told him, said, Brother Parker, we've been praying that you'll be okay. And he told him what he meant by that. There was an evil element in that area, and they had killed several preachers and badly wounded others. They didn't like the preaching of the gospel because it went against their evil deeds. They told about one evangelist who was preaching, and as he was preaching, they said somebody shot him, and they shot him, and the bullet went through him and killed his wife, who was playing the piano, got them both with one shot. Dr. Parker said he went to the service at the church. Remember, the pastor was an older man in his 70s. Said as they were having the service, all of a sudden the lights went out in the church. Said the pastor went to the back of the building to turn the lights back on, and when he got back there, somebody grabbed him and beat him. Eventually, they got the lights back on. They went on with the service. Dr. Parker said that he took the pulpit and moved it aside and stood there in front of everybody and said, you can't kill me. I'm going to live as long as Almighty God lives. He said, you may kill the body, but you'll never kill the spirit. You know what he said? They didn't have any trouble the rest of the meeting. That was it. Now, how did he say that? Because he was particularly tough, or because he was wearing Kevlar armor or something? No, it was nothing of that sort. He said it because he was trusting in the Lord. And the thing that I'm trying to get across to you is this. This is what it's saying in verses 8 and 9. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because, why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High God, thy habitation. You rest in him. You trust in him. He is your refuge. The Most High God, your habitation. What that's saying is live your life and have your faith anchored deeply in the Savior, the Lord Jesus. If he saved your soul from sin, can he not protect your life? In verse 10, it says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Plague. That's talking about the same idea as the pestilence that we read about, talked about earlier. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why? Here's why. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, verses 10 through 12 are actually prophetic. They're a promise made to the Messiah. And you know that because Satan quoted it when Jesus had his 40 days of fasting and Satan came to tempt him. Satan quoted this passage. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. He referred to that. But Satan is described two ways, three ways in the scripture. In Genesis 3, he's described as a serpent. In 1 Peter, he's described as a roaring lion that walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And in Revelation 12, he's described as that old dragon. Now you keep that in mind. Genesis 3, the serpent. 1 Peter, the roaring lion. And in Revelation 12, the dragon. Let's go back to verse 11 again and read down through verse 13. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The adder, the poisonous serpent. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Do you realize this again? This was given about the Lord Jesus when he would be tempted of the serpent, tempted of Satan, tempted of the lion, tempted of the dragon. And what does it say? Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet. Genesis 3:15. The Lord said to Satan, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Her seed, the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man. That's very important. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The difference is, the bruising of the head is a death blow. I remember many years ago, when we only had the other building over there, there was a little snake, not very big, maybe about so long, kept coming up on the pool deck there. And I caught him a couple of times and tossed him over the fence, tried to get him to go away, kept coming back. And it bothered, he wasn't a poisonous snake, and I knew that. It bothered some of the ladies there, and I'd get rid of him, he'd come back. I'd get rid of him, he'd come back. Well, he kept coming around, and one day some of the ladies were working over there, and they were afraid of it. And so I said, all right, I'm gonna take care of this situation. So I went and got a hammer, and I started walking out there, and there were two boys there, twin brothers, said to me, says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to do him in. They said, what does that mean? I said, come on, I'll show you. So I took my hammer, walked up to Mr. Snake, and I went like that one time and did him in. They said, oh, that's what that means. The snake never came back. Now, if you're angry with me for getting rid of the snake, I gave him a fair chance, folks. I tried to get him to go away. He wouldn't, you know. But you know what? That one tap with a hammer to the head, that was the end of it. That's what it's talking about here. Jesus, the Savior, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel. Did Satan bruise his heel? Absolutely, at the cross. See, all the way back in the beginning, in Genesis 3, talked about the Savior and the cross. Verse 14 and 15. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalm 2 ends with this sentence, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, who is it him? Well, earlier than that, it says, in the same verse, it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. What Son is that? Well, the Son of God. You read through Psalm 2, it's very clearly, it's talking about the begotten Son of God. Did people in the Old Testament know that God had a Son? They certainly did. And so it says in verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, because he loves you, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Those who put their faith and trust in him, those who believe in him, those are blessed. And then he'll deliver you. Verse 15 is a prayer promise. I did this, started doing this years ago in my Bible. I take my pen, and when I come across a verse like verse 15, I put a little double P in the margin. That marks it as a prayer promise. And here it is. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. What's he saying? He said, call, he'll answer. He said, he'll be with you. He'll deliver you. He'll honor you. Call on him. We always need to pray. The Bible says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Paul writes and he says, pray without ceasing. We always need to pray, but in times like these, we need to pray even more. And then finally, in verse 16, it says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Lord, when it's in all capital letters, that always means the Savior. That's the salvation name of God. And back in verses 1 and 2, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And in verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. He'll be with you. He'll deliver you. If he saved your soul, he will take care of your life. You rest in the one who has saved your soul. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Trust him. You may not be as strong as you need to be. Many of us aren't. Paul wasn't. Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. The Lord said to Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You and I may not be as strong as we need to be, but we can trust in the one who is. We can trust in the one who is as strong as we need him to be. You can rest in him, and you can be at peace. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for blessing us. Thank you for this time we've had together this morning. Thank you for those who are here and those who are watching. And pray, Lord, that you'll bless each and every one according to their own spiritual need. Lord, help us with our physical needs. Lord, protect from illness. But also, Lord, many are losing jobs. Many are losing income. And we pray that you'd protect and provide for them. And Father, we pray for your spiritual protection, your spiritual guidance. Lord, at this time we need you. We've always needed you, but we especially need you now. And we just pray that you would direct and help us to turn our hearts and our minds and our trust and our faith towards you.